Tough new controls and severe sanctions up to and including imprisonment are included in proposals today to regulate the multi-million euro gambling industry here. The Cabinet this morning approved publication of the Gambling Regulation Bill. The planned legislation, which will have to be passed by the Dáil and Senedd before it becomes law, will establish a gambling regulator for the first time, ban gambling advertising on radio and television before 9 p.m. and regulate the promotion of gambling through websites and phone apps. Speaking at the publication of the bill in the past hour, the Minister of State, James Brown, outlined the details of the plan.
Under the legislation, advertising intended to appeal to children and advertising that promotes excessive or compulsive gambling will be prohibited. A watershed prohibiting gambling advertising at certain times of the day, between 5:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. will be introduced. In this digital age, to address the particular proliferation of gambling advertising on social media, such advertising will be prohibited by default. The bill will allow the authority to prescribe the times, places and events where gambling advertising can be broadcast, displayed or published. The authority will be able to specify the frequency which advertising can be broadcast, the duration of advertisements and the amount of advertisements that can be shown.
Minister of State James Brown speaking earlier. We're joined on the line now by Barry Grant, who's CEO of Problem Gambling. A very good afternoon to you, Barry Grant, and thanks for taking our call this afternoon.
Now, hi, Brian.
Now, as you are no doubt well aware, there have been many attempts over the past decade or more to try to address this issue. This is the first time that proposed legislation has been signed off by the Cabinet. What do you think is the significance of today's announcements?
It's hugely significant, as anybody who's been following this over the years would know. Numerous attempts have been made to try and get some form of gambling regulation legislation over the line over roughly the last 10 years, and this is the furthest any of the bills have gotten. So it's a great day, certainly for campaigners and advocates in this space and for anybody who has any concerns about the harm that can be caused by gambling.
And does it go as far as you and others have argued it should go?
It's very progressive. I mean, if we would try and keep up to speed with the regulations in other jurisdictions, obviously the UK being the most obvious one, and others around Europe. And it's very, very progressive. I mean, the UK are reviewing their gambling regulations at the moment. There's a white paper due out soon. And certainly the campaigners in the UK, I think, will be happy with many of the things that Minister James Brown has proposed there. It's very progressive. It's cognizant of the fact that this stuff can be very, very addictive. It's cognizant of the fact that it's not a normal product. We really shouldn't be advertising it at times of the day where children are going to be exposed to that advertising. We should treat it like alcohol or cigarettes or any other addictive product. So a lot of very progressive proposals in there so far.
And a particular emphasis, as you've indicated, on children and ensuring that children don't become addicted to gambling at an early stage. And that's why presumably things like the controls on promotion of gambling on websites, on apps, and indeed on radio and television it seems so central to this.
That would be a big part of it, but those same interventions would be very helpful for the people who we work with who are in recovery, because many of them, you know, they're trying to stop gambling, they're on their social media. Because they've gambled so much in the past, the algorithm keeps sending them lots of gambling ads. It's very, very difficult to opt out of those in any meaningful way. So it would help many adults in recovery as well, and by extension, their family members, their children, their loved ones. So there are many, many benefits to having those options there. And I think with online, 85% of gambling marketing is spent online because it's the most effective from the gambling company's perspective. To have the option, as Minister Brown proposes, of opting in and saying, look, I'm happy to see gambling ads, or I definitely do not want to see gambling ads, that would be hugely beneficial.
What about the creation of this regulatory authority? How crucial is that, that there's an agency that has real teeth here?
It's imperative. I mean, at the moment, we have zero regulation of a multi-billion euro industry that permeates the airwaves, online, sports, which many of us are very, very much engaged in sports and love watching sport. It's everywhere all the time. And we can't have an industry that size that produces a product that is addictive to many people with no oversight and no regulation. I mean, it's essential. You know, we see it on the front line day in, day out. Certain gambling operators behaving extremely badly and taking advantage of people who are vulnerable, who are in active addiction, who they know to be in addiction, who they incentivize to keep in addiction. And we need some oversight there, a regulator who can talk quietly and carry a big stick, level the playing field and try and make sure that all of the operators are behaving properly.
And on this question of sports sponsorship, Barry, which is obviously a significant issue, it's been controversial, but on the other hand, it raises funds for very many sporting organisations. How do you see, if at all, that changing?
Well, the GAA voted at Congress a few years back to have no gambling sponsorship, so straight away, it's not a problem for them. The League of Ireland teams and some other sports would impact to some degree, but there are other sponsors out there. And in other jurisdictions where gambling shirt sponsorship, for example, has been taken out of the equation, well, other shirt sponsors came in. And I'm certainly old enough to remember when none of the Premier League jerseys had gambling sponsors on them. They had car companies or insurance companies or whatever other thing. There are many, many wealthy companies and corporations out there that can sponsor sports. So
do you think
there will
probably
be a transitionary period? Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, I mean, do you think this signals an end, even a phased end, to sports sponsorship by gambling organizations?
Certainly, that's something we would like to see. I mean, it's extremely beneficial to gambling companies, and you know the alcohol industry have done this in the past as well. You associate your product, which has a potential for harm, obviously is not harmful for everyone who uses it, but it has a potential for harm and addiction to some people, and you associate it with something that is very, very positive, very healthy and very beneficial, like sport, right? So you're kind of, you know, that term sports washing, I suppose, is kind of bandied around a lot at the moment in a different context. Yeah. But again, sport can be used to sanitize products that sometimes are addictive or dangerous. So from my perspective and the perspective of many people working in the public health space, it would be important to separate those two things out.
Barry Grant of Problem Gambling, thanks very much for talking to us.